Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday, June the 17th, 2021. It is currently 7:40 p.m. Central Time, and I'm coming to you live from my study here in Abilene, Texas. The plan this evening was to be at the church, to be coming to you live from the sanctuary of Victory Baptist Church in the middle of nowhere, Texas, but plans changed. So here I am, Abilene, Texas, in my study. I don't have my normal podcasting equipment, so I hope this sounds okay, but I wanted to at least turn on the microphone and do a quick live broadcast where we, let's begin a conversation. And to be fair, we've already started this conversation weeks ago. If you keep up and listen to everything that I do, then you're very aware of this conversation. It started with our study of the Niagara Creed. If you go to the VBC podcast, you can, I don't even know what part we're on anymore, part 34, part 35, part 36, I don't know. If you go back a few parts, you will notice that we started a discussion on the Niagara Creed where we got to the paragraph that deals with the doctrine of the church. And I started this whole discussion about the doctrine of the church using the Niagara Creed as a starting point, really as an opportunity to try to get as many people as possible all over the world, wherever you may be, to really stop and ask yourself some very important questions in regards to the church and to what you believe about the church. And my question was this: how much of what we see in the church today has little or nothing to do with what the Bible says the church should be and what the church says what the Bible says the church should do? When you see and look at what the church is doing today, when you consider what you believe about what the church should do, what is important in a church, what activities they should do, when you just take all of that together, what is going on in the church, maybe even what you think about what should be going on in the church, and you compare that to the New Testament, are the two the same, or has the church over all of these years, over all of this time, evolved into something that is no longer connected to the New Testament? It no longer even reflects what the New Testament says the church should be. That the church has turned into something else. It's turned into something other. Oh, it has the word church. Yes, there's preaching. Maybe there's singing. Yes, there's a building. But when you really look at everything, you're like, I don't really know if that is what the church was supposed to be. And I think it's an important question to ask ourselves, because I think when you become a Christian, you get baptized, next thing you know, you start going to church and you just enter. I mean, at least I'll describe this as someone who becomes a Christian later on in life. I became a Christian as a teenager. So I became a Christian. I was baptized. And I just started going to the church where I was baptized. And you just walk into the church and, well, there's a language that is used. There's just a way things work. And at first you don't even question it. Like, okay, this is what churches do. So, you know, I'm attending a Southern Baptist church in West Texas back then when I was a teenager. Okay, so the teenagers, they come to the church and they do things like have a pizza party or play capture the flag or do a lock-in, or the church takes all of the kids to Six Flags there in Arlington, Texas, and just, okay, we do this, and okay, and this is how the Sunday service works, and this is what we do on Wednesday night, and it's just like, okay, that's the way it works. And you don't ever stop to go, wait a minute, why are we doing this and why are we doing that? And then what I realized very early on, when you start asking questions, everyone's like, wait a minute, why are you questioning it? This is the way it is. And I've always felt that there's so much that happens in churches that's like a million miles removed from anything I find in the Bible. So I've really tried to spark this conversation. Now, some of you have emailed me not only with disagreements, someone did email me a question about local church, the idea of the universal church, and then when it comes to tithing and giving. And we will definitely have that conversation soon. But this morning, I was on the Edify Christian podcast app, and I saw a discussion about, is it important for your church to be a part of a denomination? Now, that's an important question, right? Because if you go to church, either your church is an independent church or your church belongs to a denomination. So, is it important that your church is a part of a denomination? And here's a question. Is it wrong for your church not to be a part of a denomination? Or is it wrong for your church to be a part of a denomination? Or does it matter? There isn't a wrong and right. You can do it whichever way you want. You can be a part of a denomination. You don't have to be a part of a denomination. You can be a part of a denomination, and once you start disagreeing with that denomination, the church can just leave that denomination. Is that right? What's the biblical model? What should we be doing? What should be the structure? And if you are part of a denomination, well, then what should the leadership structure be? How much authority should the denomination have over what you do in your local church? Should they not only determine doctrine? Should they determine practice? What's the right way? And I think a lot of Christians don't even think about it. They just go to church and like, okay, so what do you believe? Okay, you got the right doctrine. Okay, all the rest of this doesn't matter. So do Christians even consider what a church should be, how it should operate, how it should be structured? And everyone has an opinion of the right way. And everyone will tell your church if you're doing it right, if you're doing it wrong. But I wonder if, like, wouldn't it be crazy if we really stopped and considered and discovered that like 60, 70% of what churches do have nothing to do with the New Testament? It's all foreign to the New Testament. And here's a question, how much can you add to the church that isn't in the Bible? Can you add anything? Or can you do anything you want as long as the Bible doesn't condemn it? Or can you only do what the Bible specifically tells you to do? And that gets to the regulative and normative principle. There's so many questions about church. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this audio clip. Now, I know this is not the typical podcast, and I apologize that, you know, it may not come across the way I want it to, but this is just a starting point, right? Just to launch into the discussion. All right. So next time I'm at church, we'll really, you know, try to flesh this out a little bit, but let's at least begin this conversation. This comes from, we'll just jump in because I'm at my house and who knows when the doorbell's going to ring or the dog start barking. Okay. So you get that. So we'll just jump into this, not get all the background and everything. And we'll talk about it later, but the person on this, I think his name is Harry Reeder, and I think it's like Today in Perspective. I think that's the name of the podcast, something along that lines. And it's like a 10-minute, 15-minute program where they talk about things happening in the world from a biblical perspective. You can subscribe to it on the Edify Christian Podcast app and probably wherever you get your podcast. What I'll try to do, I think I've already embedded this episode on the Theology Central pod page. If you go to theologycentral.net and go to the blog, I think I've already embedded this episode there. So then you can get all the information there if you would like it. All right, but let's hear a little bit of what they say. I'll break in and we'll just kind of see if we how far we can get into this conversation. All right, here we go.
Harry, today let's talk about denominations. This is the time of the year that many denominations come together for their conventions, their general assemblies. According to a new survey by Lifeway Research, a majority of Protestant pastors whose churches belong to a denomination consider them to be vital, yet believe the importance of denominations will diminish over the next decade.
You know, it's really...
Now let's stop right here. Will the importance of denominations fade over the next 10 years? Now, let's say they will. Well, if the importance of denominations are going to fade, does that mean the church is going to move away from the biblical model? Because is the biblical model, does it support denominations? Or as churches move away from denominations, if that is true and if that's what really happens over the next 10 years, will the churches be moving into a more biblical direction? Again, the question I have, are denominations biblical, right? But I think it's interesting that there is a feeling that people are going to be moving away from denominations. And I would tell you the reason why. Look what's happening. Southern Baptists are having all their problems and their disagreements. And there's been all kinds of articles where a lot of people are considering leaving the Southern Baptist Convention because they're not happy with the president that was chosen. So it looks like a lot of churches may be leaving. The Methodists, they're having all of their disagreements and split and whatever you want to call what's going on in the Methodist church. So the issue is, how important is a denomination? Again, it really is. How important is a denomination if at just at any point you can say, okay, we're leaving. All right, my congregation, we're done with you. We're leaving. So that means it doesn't really have any ultimate authority, because whatever authority it has, you can leave. I mean, look at what Rick Warren did. He ordained three women in ministry, which is against what the Southern Baptists claim. Now, supposedly they're going to be talking about it this week at the Southern Baptist Convention. I don't know if that discussion happened today, but are they going to do anything to him? Are they going to kick his church out of the convention? Or are they going to say, hey, just don't do that again? Then what's even the point? So I think a lot of people are believing that denominations are going to lose their importance, because what is the importance? I mean, to me, it just seems like, hey, look, all of these churches were part of a denomination, so we have unity and we're one. Until you disagree, and then you're not one anymore. You just pack up and leave. So then what's the significance of them? It really is an important question.
Really interesting how they examined that. But as you read through the responses, Tom, here's what I was noticing. The responses were built around personal satisfaction, personal need. In other words, your denomination, what does it do for you, etc. But that's not really the origin of denominations. Denominations exist out of a call from Christ for his people to be one. Now, I know you're sitting there saying, well, wait, Harry, if we're supposed to be one, why do we have denominations, plural? Why don't we have just one denomination? Well, because our unity and a denomination is people coming together around a clear dynamic and distinction.
All right, there we go. Okay, I thought for a second, I don't know what was going on there. I don't know. Hey, give me one second here. I don't know what was happening here. All right, yes, I don't know what was happening there, but I think we're on the air. Hopefully I didn't mess everything up. It's a completely different setup, so hopefully I didn't mess everything up there. All right, so it's interesting. So that the people surveyed about denominations and their importance moving into the future, many of them spoke about personal preference and basically what it's in personal satisfaction and what the denomination does for them. And he's like, that's not really the origin. The origin of denominations is because of dealing with the idea of unity. Well, Christianity, we're supposed to be unified. Well, again, isn't it just all for show? Hey, look at us. We're all unified into a denomination until there's disagreement. And then we're not anymore. We'll split the denomination. We'll leave the denomination. So what is really the significance of a denomination? And again, we're one. There's one denomination over there. There's one denomination over there. There's one denomination over there. There's how many Protestant denominations are there? So, I mean, I guess you can help yourself feel better that, oh, look, we're one. We're unified. Really? You're unified until there's disagreement, and then you're not unified anymore.
Well, you say, well, there should be one denomination. We're Christians. We're committed to Christ, and we're committed to the Word of God, and we're committed to serving Christ, and we're committed to the Great Commission, and we're committed to the Great Commandment. So why isn't there just one denomination? Well, because the Word of God has to be interpreted. And how you actually handle the Word of God is revelatory of whether the Word of God is your only rule of faith and practice. There are two marks of the Christian.
Now, I have to jump in here again. Christians love to say, the Bible is the only authority. The Bible is the only authority. In reality, and listen to what I'm going to say here. Yes, I believe the Bible's the only authority, but it ultimately comes down, your interpretation of the Bible becomes the only authority, right? The Bible's the only authority. You interpret the Bible one way, then another church or a pastor or a denomination interprets it a different way. And then you're like, okay, you're wrong. I'm going to go leave the denomination, leave the church, start another denomination. Why? Because, well, the Bible's the final authority. Well, that other group claims the Bible's the final authority. You claim the Bible's the final authority. So it's obviously not the Bible that's the final authority. It's everyone's own interpretation that's the final authority. Now, I know whenever I say that, people get upset, but it's just the reality of it. So why do we have so many denominations? Because the Bible has to be interpreted. So what does it turn into? The denomination doesn't have the authority. The church doesn't have the authority. Individuals have the authority. And the individuals decide what the Bible says and what they believe and what they're going to do. So then really, what is even the point of the entire structure? Because once the denomination offers an interpretation that differs with anyone within the denominational leaders say, here's the interpretation, and the people in the denomination say, we disagree with it, then either they vote people out or they just leave and go somewhere else. So then what is really the point? You say, well, it's about unity. It's not really about unity, because you're only unified until you agree or disagree. And it's not even really about the scripture being the final authority, because the final authority is everyone's own personal interpretation. We just have to be honest with this. And this is many of the problems with the whole Protestant world.
The Christian is someone who is committed to Christ, and it is manifested by their desire to honor the word of God as truth, and their desire to love the Lord and to love others as the Lord would have them love others. And so truth and love marks out a Christian. A hunger for truth, they speak the truth, they love the truth increasingly. So the life of love and truth mark out a believer. But what about a church? A church is marked out by being led through the Spirit of God, with the word of God, bathed in prayer, to exalt the triune God according to the word. Well, what does the word of God say? Well, now you find out that people say, let's come together around our common ruling principles. And those common ruling principles bring us together. Thus, the common denominator manifests itself in denominations. So you have many churches that say, hey, we confess the truth together, and they'll gather together around the Apostles' Creed. I call that Christianity 101. And then there are those who say, yeah, but listen, we believe the Word of God is true. We believe the miracles are true. We believe all of those truths of God's Word. We believe that Word is inerrant and infallible, and that has marked out what we call evangelical churches. And then, of course, you have churches that even go further in what they are confessing, and that would become their denominational standard, like the Westminster Confession of Faith, the Baptist London Confession, the Baptist Philadelphia Confession. So now here's what the Bible says. Paul says, I abhor divisions, yet there are divisions among you which are necessary that those who are approved of the truth may be manifested. In other words, there is a necessary division around what do we believe the truth of God's word says.
Now, a couple of things. When Paul talked about there's divisions among you, was he referring to denominations, or was he talking about divisions within a local congregation and assembly? That's number one. Number two, okay, it may be necessary, but it's necessary to decide basically, so we're going to be divided because it can be realized who has the truth. But who gets to decide who has the truth? The group that you say you don't have the truth, they will claim, no, you don't have the truth. So who claims, who really has the truth? Well, the people who have the truth are the people who claim to have the truth, and both sides will claim that they got the truth from Scripture, and both sides will condemn the other side. So then, who has the truth? it's maddening when you really start taking it apart. And I know whenever I start taking it apart, it makes people really nervous, but look, you can pretend all day. You can pretend like, oh, we're so unified, and we love one another, and then you look at how many different Protestant denominations, and then you just, again, get 10 Christians together, and say, let's have a Bible study. Just 10 Christians together from different churches and try to have a Bible study and see how well that works out. It ends up in disagreement in 5.2 seconds. Why? Because everyone thinks they can interpret the text. Everyone believes their interpretation of the text is authoritative. And they believe not only is their interpretation authoritative, it's authoritative upon you. And if you don't believe it, then you don't have the truth. You're a heretic and you're wrong. It's maddening, but it's the way it is. So I guess denominations try to give you some sense of unity. Hey, we're all gathered together around one doctrinal statement. Are you? Southern Baptists, you all agree on one doctrinal statement? Well, then why is Rick Warren ordaining women? What are you going to do about it? Right? I mean, you got Southern Baptist churches who do all kinds of stuff. So what do you do about it? I mean, the churches will just change their belief whenever they want to believe, and they will break, and ultimately, they will, in many cases, they'll just leave a denomination or just go start another denomination. So, I mean, it's maddening to me.
Our desire is to come together. That's our desire, to be one. But our oneness is based upon truth, and it is kept by love. So when we lovingly speak the truth to one another, if there is a disagreement about what the truth says, then those significant disagreements can lead to denominations. Now, having said all that, Tom, my last thought is this. That survey was built around the desires of pastors to have denominations because of their benefit to them and because of their desire to benefit from them. Yet they were concerned that they may not last because their benefit may be diminishing. Well, there are some of us who are in denominations out of conviction, not because they benefit us, but because the Lord called us. The Lord called us to be one. Now, we need to be one organically in function with other Christians and relationally, but it's also appropriate to be one organizationally. But that is bounded by our confession. So we in the Presbyterian Church in America, our confession is the Westminster Confession of Faith. And as long as we hold to that confession with integrity and love, then we are able to maintain our cohesiveness relationally and missionally in this world as to why we are here and how we serve the Lord. But one of the reasons that we have a denomination is not only are the conviction that God's word calls us to come together around truth and love, and the only reason to divide is if there is a diminishing of our commitment to the truth of God's word, then our allegiance to Christ supersedes that of our allegiance to a denomination. But Tom, one of the things that's also abundantly clear is I am a Presbyterian out of conviction, because it was the only system I found where it was possible to fulfill the biblical commandment to submit to one another. I love the Presbyterian system because I don't believe in independent Christians, thus I don't believe in independent church government, I don't believe in independent churches. And I love the Presbyterian system.
There you have it. So he just made a statement. He doesn't believe in independent churches. All right, well, that means my church, it's an independent church, is wrong, according to him. Okay, so now, he could be right. Independent churches could be wrong. But our denomination, and so therefore, everyone should join a denomination. But if you join a denomination, you please know what he says. My allegiance ultimately is not to the denomination, it's to Christ. So the second that denomination begins to go in a way that he doesn't think is in accordance with Christ, then he'll leave the denomination. So then that's still being independent, okay? That's still being, it's independent. It's just you're temporarily setting aside your independence because you're like, okay, I'm going to go along with you guys. But the minute you go this way or this way or this way, or you deviate in any way, well, then I'm going to then go my own way because my allegiance is to Christ. Now, yes, if you have a confession, that does make it easier because at least you can say, as long as you're consistent with this confession, I will stay here. And the minute they deviate, but I mean, I think he said Presbyterian USA, Presbyterian United States. I bet you if you look up the history of that group, I bet you that group used to be a part of another group who then left that group go follow, because there's a lot of different Presbyterian groups. There's a lot of different Presbyterian groups. In other words, not even all the Presbyterians can agree, because they've broken and divided amongst themselves. So you can say, well, we're not independent, because, you know, we need to have this connection and this unity, but you'll break away when you need to break away. So then are you not, in that sense, independent? I guess you could take a group of churches with you and go start another group, but you left the other group. So, but again, which one is right? Is it a denomination, or is it independent? If independent is wrong, then we'd all should be a part of a denomination. Which is it? That's the question.
Because there's a plurality of leaders. Did you notice in the Bible every time the word elder is used, it's plural? Paul called for the elders of the church at Ephesus. Note elder, plural, church, singular. So I love it because of the plurality of leadership. I also love it because of the parity of leadership. No one man rules the church, not the pastor. So that's why I ended up a Presbyterian. But the other reason is this. It was a system where everybody could be submissive to somebody. Every member is submissive to their elders in the church. The elders are submissive to one another. The church is submissive to the churches in the presbytery. The presbytery is submissive to other presbyteries in the denomination. We need to be accountable to one another. But Tom, our commitment together is always based upon our common denominator of being committed to Christ, and that the Word of God is our only rule of faith and practice. So for me, I believe denominations are here because while they're beneficial, they need to be here. Just as there was a presbytery of seven churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, just as there was a general assembly of churches in Acts 15, we need to work together in love based upon the truth, so together we can take the gospel of the kingdom to the world.
There does come a time, and in fact many denominations are facing this right now.
If you just type in Presbyterian denomination split, because he just said everyone is submitted to someone. If you just type in Presbyterian denominational split, the first thing that pops up is, last year, a new schism began when the Presbyterian USA Church instituted new rules permitting gay clergy. Many conservative congregations split from the church as a result. The vote prompted a church investigation into the schism to determine which faction was entitled to the church property valued at $9 million. That's all the way back in 2013. And then here's the thing, how to tell the difference between PCA and PCUSA, right? So there's two different groups. And again, you're going to get history, and you're going to find splits. If you just start reading here, you'll notice this, that in fact, here's what happened. Okay, the PCA. PCA, as a Presbyterian Church America, I guess, has its roots in theological controversies over liberalism and Christianity and neo-orthodoxy that has been a point of contention in the Presbyterian Church in the USA, formerly Presbyterian Church in the Confederate States of America, which had split from the mainline Presbyterian Church in the USA along regional lines at the beginning of the Civil War, while the fundamentalist modernist controversy has led to a split in the PCA USA in the mid-1930s. So there's already two splits. And if you keep going through there, I think you'll even find more splits. So everyone's submitted to one another only until you don't want to be. Only until you don't want to be. So as soon as I just start reading about it, those were already two splits. So how many splits have there been? How many different Presbyterian groups are there? But hey, we're all submitted to one another. The members of the church are submitted to the authority. Are they? As soon as the members of the church disagree with the authority, guess what they'll do? They're going to leave. So how submissive are they? Okay. So, all right. It all drives me crazy.
When they have to ask themselves, is my denomination following the biblical mandates? When do you say, I am going to stay in and help steer my denomination the right way? When do you get out and say, I'm going to have to look for another denomination?
Tom, you need to write this question down because this is a program next week. We're headed to our General Assembly, and we're dealing with some very crucial, difficult, and challenging issues, as many evangelical denominations are doing now. But as long as our confession is intact and we have not diminished the truth of God's Word, then I am going to stay in the fight to uphold it. But
please note, it's subtle. As long as our confession is intact. So what's going to hold us together is not the Scripture, it's the confession of faith. Now, they'll say that confession of faith is based off Scripture, but there's lots of people who disagree with their confession of faith and would do so on the basis of Scripture. So what's holding you intact? We're unified around Scripture, or we're unified around the confession of faith? You got to be unified around the confession of faith, which means you are accepting as authoritative the interpretation of Scripture handed down by man. But is their interpretation authoritative or not authoritative? You have to say and submitted to that confession. So there can be no interpretation that would go against that confession, because then you would be going against the authority. So, but he's even acknowledging that they've got some big challenges in their group. I wonder how many, if when they have their meeting, if churches are going to leave. I wonder.
The confession can still be intact as a document, but if the church courts are not willing to enforce it, then it has become a paper tiger. In other words, it is not functional. If the truths that are in that confession are not preached, and if they are not a part of the discipline of the church, so if anyone violates the principles of God's word contained in that confession and they're not disciplined, then the confession has become peripheral at best and worthless at worst. Confessions.
Please note, the confessions become the standard. If you violate that, you should be disciplined because you went against the confession. The confession really becomes the standard. Now, they would claim it comes from Scripture, but I guarantee you, you go through every point of the confession and start talking about Scripture, I bet you would even find Presbyterians and go, well, I'm not sure if I really interpret that Scripture that way. Hey, you better not. That's magisterial authority right there. You can't go against it. Well, I can. Okay, well, then is the confession the authority? What's the authority?
They're not inerrant, but God's word is. This is our profession of faith. We believe God's word says this. Therefore, this is where we stand.
As we close out for today.
Now, he acknowledged that the confession is not inerrant, God's word is. Well, then if someone interprets God's word different than the confession, but they can't go against that because if they go against the confession is the standard which they have to hold to, or they'll be disciplined. So the confession is ultimately the standard. Now, he argued that, you know, he thinks denominations are the right way to do it. So I'll just ask you, do you think denominations are the right way or independent being the right way? And is it, you can do it either way? So in other words, it doesn't matter, or does it have to be one way? What do you think about this entire discussion? I just want to start the discussion, throw out a lot of thoughts there. I know I didn't have a chance to really dig into each one because, well, I'm here in my study, and at any moment, the dog's going to start barking. So I'll just throw that out there. You can email me your thoughts to newsif@yahoo.com. newsif@yahoo.com. That's newsif@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear that podcast that we just analyzed again, go to theologycentral.net, go to the blog section. I have it embedded right there. And I found that this morning, I think it was this morning or maybe late last night, on the Edify Christian podcast app. All right, I'll stop right there. Can't wait to get your feedback on all of it. All right, thank you for listening. Everyone have a great night. God bless.